Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, everyone's favorite writer's room podcast, where specifically three writers, professionals, three Hollywood professionals, have an hour to turn an idea into a pitch for a movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. I know it. You know it. Everyone knows it. I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm a writer-director, and I am rethinking my intro, so I don't have it yet.
I mean, that's okay, Matt. You've only had 52 of these to try and figure something out.
Well, that was like season one. Is this number 52? Is this our year anniversary, boys?
No, dog. That was last week.
What?
This is 53.
Is this 53? We didn't mention our year anniversary? We all forgot. we're one of those couples now.
Today, Space Mountain.
This week, Space Mountain, damn it.
Space Mountain, everyone's favorite, well, mostly everyone's favorite, Disneyland, Disney World ride in Tomorrowland, the one that everyone who has Disney passes go to, the one you wait 50 minutes in line for, the one that you know and love. Space Mountain.
Space Mountain.
The feature film adaptation. A movie, by the way, that they have attempted to do feature film adaptations for in the past and all failed. And once again, Disney, the mouse, casts his gaze towards us here in Burbank and says, oh, please, will you help us?
It's like good. Half Mickey, half Jimmy Stewart.
Now we know who we're pitching to.
Well, Mickey is Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Is that? No, he predates Jimmy Stewart by quite a bit.
I got you for a second.
That's fishy. I don't like that. So, yeah, you know, Tomorrowland was such a successful hit film that they were like, we got to do Space Mountain. I do want to say right away that there is no mountain in space on the Space Mountain ride.
Yeah.
That was the main.
There's a lot of.
It's named that because the building looks kind of like a mountain. Is that what you're going to say, Will?
I don't know. I was like, what is the.
Oh, that's why. The building looks like a mountain.
Is that why?
Yes. I'm assuming so. There's very little. Okay, there's very little about Space Mountain. I was like, there's got to be a lore. Like, Walt Disney's a guy. Like, for those of you who don't know, he would, like, sit on his. He would kneel in his. Amusement
what
park.
What the fuck are
he
you talking about?
He would kneel in his amusement park so that he would see his amusement park from a child's point of view, and he would actually alter like every single roof and statue to look right for a child. So he was a
someone
man
after
who's
spending,
meticulous.
After spending zillions of dollars renovating Disneyland, someone told Walt Disney that not all children are exactly the same size of his knee height.
The point is,
like,
he's
Walt,
meticulous.
Not every kid's dick height.
And
you're telling me this smart dude couldn't invent a dick cam? You call Walt Disney smart?
The point being is, he's a meticulous artist.
Ridiculous.
Most of his
Will almost spewed drink all over his laptop. I'm sorry, Will. I would have paid for the Apple Care on that month.
Most of his rides are related to something, have some sort of lore, are related to a story. So I was like, okay, what's Space Mountain's deal? He must have loved
space, clearly.
No. There is nothing.
Nothing.
I was looking, there's literally nothing. You go, there's not even like a lead up to the ride. You're just in a space station, and you go through space.
I want to get on with the podcast in just a second, but first, I do want to talk about how extremely good Ridiculous is. I've never heard that before, but the idea of something being so meticulous it was ridiculous, and that is Ridiculous, is fantastic.
I think Freddie was trying to say dick, like a penis.
Oh, were you just trying to say, because you were making your dick jokes.
Yeah, that was a dick joke.
No, well, I want to be clear. All my puns are fucking three-dimensional puns.
Anyway, back to Space Mountain.
So I was going to bring up the very little bit of lore I found. This is all we have.
We started a while ago. Oh, shit.
If you go to the Space Mountain website on Disney World, it just says Zoom Through the Galaxy. It's a bunch of bullshit. But there is interactive training. So this gives me something, which is you go in the interactive training. There's video game-inspired training stations, and those missions include blasting haphazard asteroids, clearing a cluttered runway, and moving cargo from one location to another.
So it's just space UPS.
Okay, so you blast
asteroids.
Well, so to be clear, because I have experience with this, what Matt here is referring to is the in-line experience at Disney World. They've put in these little mini games as you're in line, as they did as they updated the line for it, so that you can have some fun while you're waiting in line.
And they also put those online so you could like practice at home before you got
they
to
just
Disneyland.
List them.
Oh, they just list them. Just to orient myself. Space Mountain, if I'm remembering the ride correctly, like you're going through a little spaceport.
Yeah.
And then you get into a little spaceship.
Yeah.
And then you basically just fly around in pitch darkness with space sound effects and lights that look like stars, and then I occasionally, like, I'm sure there's comets or asteroids.
Every
or
once in a while, they do scary, like, you know, during Halloween, they've done scary stuff, they've done Star Wars stuff, and supposedly
probably the scariest time when they did the Red Hot Chili Peppers brand.
That's right, they did Rockin' Space Mountain.
Walt Disney wanted the music, which I can't bring up the guy's name who wrote it, but he wanted it to sound both space and horror. So maybe we do a space horror for kids.
This is like theremin right there.
And the only other thing I want to say is the guy who engineered Space Mountain, who's 87, took his last ride this February.
Took his own life.
took a ride this February.
And then occasionally.
Did he die afterwards?
I didn't see that.
Because you say it took his
last
ride.
No, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
They did a big like thing where he rode it, and he was like, I remember designing this shit. It's fucking rad.
But he wasn't like, I'm out the game now.
He can roll to a stop. And then just jumped onto the track and ended it right there.
No. He was like, I designed coasters for a living. This shit fucking ruled. That was the best. This still is the best. Motherfuckers, Indiana Jones ain't got shit on
this.
Okay,
we're gonna pitch to him and Mickey Mouse and playing both.
Oh my god. Okay. I just want to be clear about the aesthetic of it, right? So it is a very 50s nostalgia in keeping with Tomorrowland, the sort of retro futurism, the 90s retro futurism that you saw throughout the course of Tomorrowland. Which
the idea of Space Mountain was that you were stepping into the future and going to space. It only looks retro because it was made in the 50s.
The ride was made in the 70s.
Or in the 70s, whatever. And then the ride, and then they try to make the ride, they redid the ride to be more modern.
The 70s, aka the 50s of 2018.
Exactly.
But here's the point, though, right? I feel like, one, the horror thing gave me an interesting sort of direction, because also that pushed me in an interesting direction, because I think at the very least, they've tried this, right? They tried Adventureland. Tomorrowland was basically, you know, a fun, you know, thrill ride sort of thing. I don't think they've ever kind of pushed it in a scary direction, you know? And I think that I remember, for at least, you know, again, to Will's point of always trying to get the emotional core of the experience, for me, Space Mountain was always that first hill. Right. If you guys recall, the first hill in Space Mountain, you go up on it, and it starts to go up, and it's basically a tunnel. And they're doing lighting effects to make it look like you're kind of like twirling through it. But that's freaky shit. Like, I remember being kind of scared of that when I was a kid. I remember even my dad, when we were in Disneyland, like, he would like, ooh, he's like, oh, you know, Space Mountain's like, ooh, it's intense. Like, he sold it as not like here's a fun roller coaster a la, you know, any of the other stuff that you have in the park. Mm-hmm. He sold it as like, this was like Haunted Mansion sort of style. Like,
yeah,
this is a scary ride.
That's, I mean, it definitely didn't ever feel like Tomorrowland when I was a kid. I was like, oh, this is old fashioned. Every time I went into Space Mountain, especially the first time, like when I was really young, yeah, it was definitely scary. And it was like, it felt like the tension of being on a rocket ship. It's like, it's weirdly like not that like goofy and fun in line. It's like dark and they just have lights going and it's just like people talking over an intercom and it's all pretty, yeah. It's
the
not
theremin,
like,
a lot of theremin.
Yeah, it's not like Jetsons were like, all right, come down to outer space. They're like, you're
gonna
die.
There's no cool robo sidekick being like, oh, remember I just started.
Yeah, like Star Tours is very like, feels old fashioned. Like Space Mountain definitely felt like, all right, we're gonna rocket you into outer space. Good luck.
Let's talk about this mountain.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I want to talk about the mountain in the room, which is the mountain in space.
In space.
Like, if you're going to, if I'm like, all right, so what's this mountain about? That's the first thought that I'll throw this out there. I don't think this is it, but just to get the ball rolling. The first idea I had was like, the movie is set at Space Mountain, the greatest amusement park in the galaxy. And the central attraction of it is this crazy, super dangerous ride called Space Mountain. And then some kid sneaks onto it, and then they go even further into super space.
See, where you got super space. Where you got me there was the idea of like, what if it starts to be like 2001 a little bit, but it's just like, boom. A mountain shows up in our solar system. A fucking mountain. It's not even a spherical shape. It's like triangular and shit.
What does the bottom look like?
Nobody's seen it, Matt. That's what we gotta go fucking
take. We gotta see what the bottom of that mountain looks like.
This mountain looks
so,
like.
So it's facing us. So it just looks like a big disc.
Maybe it's like a pyramid.
Was it like roots? Was it like ripped
like
out of a
triangle or something? Listen, we'll let the concept art guys go wild with it. But my point is this: it's an alien object, and it's like, you know, it's like Earth sending it up, exploring the obelisk, you know, on the moon style type of thing. And it's like, oh, and all the adults can't do it. It's only kids can make it.
You know what's at the top of that mountain too? Piece of the aggro crag.
Now I break it down. I feel like Space Mountain is like the name of the place where the spaceships launch from, and you launch from Space Mountain.
Everything you're describing in terms of the games makes it feel like it's a pretty they even treat it pretty perfunctorily. They're just like, here you go, Space Mountain. I guess we're going to deliver some cargo. Because there's like boxes and shit all over the line. Just like, what are we?
I mean,
a shipping facility.
I mean,
so you're saying Space Mountain is like the name of the spaceport?
I mean, I'm just trying to. It's definitely called Space Mountain because the building next to Matterhorn is the Space Mountain. Because in the ride, there is no mountain in space, is the name of the building. Not that we have to stick to that. But I also don't know if you want, like, I feel like they want, Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't think they want, like, kids go to amusement park.
I'm not saying it's the amusement park idea, but I am like, again, like you were saying, the only thing we've got is like, we got nothing. So I was like, a mountain in space. Is that a thing?
So what would a mountain in space be like? What is like a Jumanji-esque, like, okay.
Because Zathura, I believe, is what you're Zathura. Looking for.
what if it's the ride Disney, but it turns out it's the portal. Right, in the same way, they do this in Tomorrowland, don't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit. But like, you're right, like you go up the thing, and it's just like, yes, the regulars, they all go down the Space Mountain way, but the other way actually launches your ass into space.
Wait, what? Was the regulars go down the Space Mountain way?
Here's the thing. At the very beginning of Space Mountain, if you recall, as you ride out in the flat part, there's like a control tower right above you, about, you know, like 10, 20 feet in the air. And there's like a cast member sitting there, probably fucking playing like...
Making sure you're safe.
Yeah, checking seatbelts and like YouTube, watching YouTube. But they direct you like to, you know, like, oh, yeah. Car one, they put you to the right or whatever.
Well, I was going to say, so originally the plan for Space Mountain was they were going to have four separate tracks. And I believe Space Mountain in Disney World has two tracks. Whoa. So you could do like a platform 9 3/4 type situation where there is a secret port in Space Mountain that goes like... You know, to the real spaceman.
Ooh, this is going to be a hard episode.
All right. What is a space mountain?
It does feel like, okay. Even looking at other stuff, like they even have this, like, I'm looking Space Mountain art. If you Google Space Mountain art, like they definitely portray this.
You Google Space Mountain nudes.
They definitely portray this. they definitely portray this space station as this, like, mountain, like in a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know why. So, like, bear with me. If you did that, it was, like, you know, like a Babylon 5 or even Valerian with, like, the City of a Thousand Planets. Like, if the Space Mountain was this place that our characters have to get to in order to go into the reaches of the galaxy for some reason, like, it would be kind of more like your...
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yes, that it is like a...
It's like your Rivendell.
It's like a sci-fi spaceport that looks like a mountain.
Yes.
So they all call it Space Mountain. All right, let's go with that.
So, yeah. Let's treat it like a Babylon 5 or like a Valerian Planet of a Thousand.
The hub of the galaxy.
Yes. Wait, Matt, I want you to try one more time the name of that movie is.
Valerian Planet of a Thousand Cities. It's definitely a cool, like, that's better.
It's not Planet of a Thousand
Cities. No, but it should be because it's like a planet with a thousand. It's Earth.
It's called Earth.
You mean Earth?
Valerian, the mythical planet with over 100 cities.
Okay.
Valerian, country of several districts.
Okay, so yes, this is like the central spaceport, the Space Mountain of the known galaxy where...
All sentient space traveling beings.
Yes, show up here.
Yeah. All right, you got your glib glorbs, you got your poor blorbs.
You got your poop bobbers and your tube boobers.
Your YouTubers and your Twitchers, your Tumblrs. Okay.
Right. Who's your main character?
Godfinger.
Can I interject?
Yes.
It's a family movie.
Okay.
Picture Home Alone.
Love it.
Okay. Oh, my God. Remember the sequence in Home Alone where they're running around the airport and they get separated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The airport Space Mountain.
Oh.
Just bear with me for a second.
I love it.
So you do a kid, gets separated from his family, winds up on the wrong spaceship, is now in the wrong fucking universe, and his family's trying to get back to him, he's trying to get back to his family, they're all hopping around space trying to find each other.
I mean, I would do, I love this.
Are there criminals after him?
And there's criminals after him because he bumped briefcases with someone and he picked up the wrong briefcase. He's got a MacGuffin in it, right? And now there's alien intrigue and he's got the key to the galaxy in his goofy backpack. And there's spies and all this stuff. Yeah, his literal goofy backpack. Yeah, and there's all this intergalactic intrigue about this object and they're all trying to chase him and he's just trying to see his...
It's like a roller coaster. I love space, but I wouldn't have him go to a different planet. I love him being... Barry, you can definitely get your space rides. I like the idea that he misses the flight. They all fly off without him. He's stuck in this massive diplomatic space station all alone, like terminal style, and he's trying to find a way back to his family or whatever.
Yeah, because it's like, again, like, I remember, go ahead.
I was going to say, because you could do something where it's like, he smuggles on, like, he finds, like, he's just a dumb kid. He, like, gets into, like, a loading ship, and he flies out. He's like, woo! He's going on the ride of Space Mountain, essentially, and he thinks he's going to escape the atmosphere, and then a tractor beam pulls him back in, just like the ride, and like, what the hell are you doing, kid? He's like, I'm just trying to get back to my family. But he saw something. When they were pulling him back in, he saw, like, smugglers on the outside of Space Mountain, like, breaking into something.
He
somehow gets, like... And nobody will listen to him. And he tells, like, the goofy Han Solo-esque.
Well, because he starts and he gets locked up by the Space Mountain PD. They're like, you can't have kids running around. So his first thing is like, I gotta escape. And he escapes with a bunch of other plucky, like, cast-offs stuck in here in diplomatic community. So it's like the Tom Hanks character from Terminal. It's like, we're busting you out of this motherfucker. And it becomes a movie like that. And here's what I think. Whatever the MacGuffin is. The ending, the family gets back, but it's fucking space, dog. It's light years. It's just like, Father, you've aged while I've stayed the same. And it's like the dad's like, I've come all the way back. You're like, fuck, this got dark. This got fucking really, it's like, my sister, it's like, you've become a grown woman. I've born child in the time. He's like, my God, all this time. But then the MacGuffin is just like, oh shit, this reverses all of that. Done. We feel good. We get all the drama, the interstellar drama of being like, you grew up and I was stuck here in time, but you guys aged without me, time dilation. All the drama of that. Without any of the fucking, like,
him being a little bratty kid who, the little boy, as he finds his family again, and his parents are like 90 and old, and he realizes
the life
that
we could have
parents.
Had together, he could lost them. It's like, but nah, rewind, it works. And like, we love you.
Okay, so it's like he.
I was gonna say, make it that it is they were on vacation or something. They were like, they're returning.
And he didn't want to go home
because I like that he should be like the only human. Like, I feel like,
that's cool.
I feel like it's their return. No, yeah, he didn't want to go home. He didn't want to go back to school or something. Though it's more fun in Home Alone, it's fun that they, like, leave him.
Yeah, and then they got to get back to him.
Yeah.
Right? So here's, because he gets, like,
What's this plot of Home Alone 2 in New York City starring Donald Trump? Is he in New York? Do they go on vacation
Home Alone
in New York?
2, he gets on the wrong flight. So they go to another place, and he goes to New York.
Yeah. Oh, then it should be he shows up at Space Mountain. It should be they're launching from Earth to go on space vacation, and he goes to the UN of the Galactic Empire, essentially.
I could see it either way.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun if it's like more of a commercial, less governmental kind of entity. You know?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it needs to be the UN. Again, I like that it is the airport, and he's lost at the airport. It's just the craziest airport on Earth, and he's trying to get to a flight to catch up
with
his
family. I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. It just feels like in this universe, if this is just an Earth airport, it doesn't feel like that big of a deal to be stuck in an airport. It'd be like me getting stuck at LAX versus me, like, being stuck in Space Mountain.
Yeah, and, you know, cinematically, you want him... Again, like, you want him to stumble out into a new world, not for him to just get lost and then his parents are gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and he's somewhere that he already essentially knows. Yeah. Like, yes. Okay, so we'll see. They're at Earthport and they're going to go to, they're going on a little short hop to Venus, right?
Yeah. They're going, no, I like the
They're going to the, they're going to go, like, he's, or it's a class.
Mars, because Mars is a thing now.
Mars or the moon, like, it's some boring
Are we on Mars yet? What's the thing with that? I hear it every once in a while.
At any rate, you do. He gets lost at the airport, and he's holding the back of some other woman's dress.
Yeah.
I guess this is a pretty little kid. He gets lost, and he thinks he's found the right flight, and he's not looking up from his cell phone. Am I right? Those kids with their texting, those millennials, he's staring at his avocado toast cell phone and complaining about boomers, and then he stumbles into a ship, and then holy crap. And then you do again, the fun of that can also be that Space Mountain is literally like in the middle of the galaxy. It's nowhere near Earth. What were you going to say, man?
You said that we didn't want to do a kid's movie again. So can this also be big in that because he's going to this intergalactic station, he freezes and he gets out and he's 21. So he's just like jumpstart through puberty and now he's a hormonal, ready to go, slick 21-year-old without his parents in Space Mountain, ready to get down. Am I right?
You're always going to run into a problem, Matt, when you make a child. They barely figured that out in Big. If you're going to be like, yo, he's ready to art, he's DTF.
Yo, there's a reason why people mention Big, but nobody gives a fuck about Pagemaster. Nobody cares about some kid bouncing around some fucking spaceport, but give me a kid in a 20-year-old body who's fucking space aliens. That's a movie people are gonna go see. Imagine that trailer. Imagine that 10-year-old comes up. He's like, "Whoa, I'm 21!" And some like tentacle creature's like, "Hey, you want to check this out?" And he comes out. He's like, "I was not expecting that." It's like they fucked.
That's like Shape of Water, but like reverse.
Yes, dog. Shape of Water made this okay, and it won Best Picture.
I don't think she was like a 10-year-old girl in a grown woman's body in Shape
of Water.
How did
they do it in Big? That was also a while ago.
All right, I'm gonna pump the brakes a little. Not to no but this, but no.
That was so much fun. Fine, it's a
12-year-old
kid.
Hold on. I'm just a little confused because is it that like if they froze him, he'd come out and be the how did he get older?
Well, the secret is when he goes back, it reverses time. That's how this works. So he goes back.
It's like a real DJ record scratch scenario. You push forward, it goes forward in time. You bracket back, it goes back in time. Duh. Fucking Stephen Hawking, if he knew that shit.
Does this happen to everyone that goes to Space Mountain?
Okay, because he snuck on. He didn't get frozen, so he was stuck there.
There's a Stephen King.
He actually lived those 18 years. You do that.
The Jaunt, Stephen King.
Yeah. I don't know. I was saying that Jennifer Lawrence and
Passengers.
It's Passengers, but we just skip that part of the movie.
Yeah, the boring, like, weird part,
like,
in the middle
of
it.
Oh, no. And then we cut to 18 years later, and he's like, woo!
Van Halen's Panama.
Talk about a long flight. Anyways.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Where am I?
Panama! Whoa, check out these space babes! I went through all puberty with one Galactic Sears catalog in the cargo hold.
Everybody else would wake up and just like be like, what the fuck happened on this spaceship? This freaking wild child has been living by himself.
Can you imagine how hard he must have been cranking his hog?
I know, just by himself for 18 years. He's like, whatever you do, do not look at the footage.
Do not
look at the security footage. She's like, your face seems familiar. Were you looking at me like for 18 years? He's just like,
it's turned into a raunchy sex comedy.
So that story break, everyone. I want it to be known for the record that I tried to do a real movie and then Matt blew up the episode.
By talking about a lonely teenager stuck in the cargo hold.
It takes so long for that trailer to explain just the premise of the movie. Like before the movie can even start. Okay, so anyways, we're getting to it as a kid.
You see the 8-minute trailer for Space Mountain, guys? It's wild.
Okay, so how
old is this? No backing out of this.
Okay, we're
doing it.
Okay.
We're not gonna do American Pie with it.
Obviously.
But you're gonna do you drove us into this ditch, Matt. We're going through it.
Okay.
I'm sick of this shit.
Let's give the kid a name.
So here's what I would say. Just to walk over the concept for a second. What I would do is that he gets onto the ship, right? And then you're supposed to get into a cryopod, and the cryopod freezes you, and then it knocks you, it hibernates you, and like they pump this gas into the ship that hibernates you, and then the cryopod freezes you to stop you from aging.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a cryopod, so he just goes for a 21-year nap, and then he wakes up, or you're gonna, again, like it takes you, it's like the Jaunt or whatever, takes you through some like weird, trippy space stuff, and if you're not in the pod, you age.
Yeah.
So then he wakes up. He's on Space Mountain, and he's Chris Pratt. And it's a big, fun, like, he's a kid in a goofy dude's body movie,
in
right?
Space Mountain, yeah.
In Space Mountain.
Okay.
And then he's, again, and he looks all suave and debonair, and someone thinks he's the secret agent they're supposed to meet. But
ooh,
he's really
that's
a,
good.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
And then, yeah, we'll do there's some MacGuffin that's going to reverse the aging thing at the end, maybe. Or he's just a 12-year-old in Chris Pratt's body. And he's like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah. They're like, actually, like, how am I going to get back home? They're like, your family died in a horrific space crash accident 21 years ago. He's like, all right.
No, I don't see this thing. I don't think 21 years has not passed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my point.
Oh, yeah, you're just saying
you
he
do,
aged.
Yeah. They
he
went
aged.
Through the warp wiggle or yes. whatever, like the space urethra that ages you, that gets you to...
You yeah. go through this warp, yes, it is this wormhole that ages, and so you go inside this container to stop you from aging.
Yeah, it's a barrier. Yeah, it's a photonic barrier that protects you from hypergons.
So it's this dorky
particles
kid,
of the
and he's
sea.
Like, whoa, and you do that like scene where he's like spinning around and there's like particles flying around. He's like, what's happening? And he turns into Chris
He
Pratt.
Gets knocked out like everybody else. So then he wakes up and he's like, and it's Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Okay, is it Chris Pratt or is it just like a gross fat dude? You just do that.
No,
exact...
it makes you buff too.
It makes you buff. He looks down, he sees his abs, and he looks down even more and he sees
He's like, how did I work out while I was asleep?
He's like, dude, I must have been doing sit-ups in my sleep.
Okay.
His name is Noah Reno.
Noah Reno. I like that.
Thank you, Noah, for offering your name to the story gods. Now we will abuse it.
Noah. Okay, so this kid, Noah. Okay, what is his deal? Before we can know about what the adventure he goes on, what's his deal leading up to this? Like, how does Noah get to Space Mountain?
Well, okay, so again, this is the sin of Act One, right?
Yes.
Is that he is like, he doesn't want to go on this bullshit vacation with his family, and they're like, you're a little kid, you don't get to decide, it's like Big. He's like, you're a little kid, you don't get to decide what you do. Like, you have no autonomy in this, in this, right? And he's like, man, this sucks. And he, you know, maybe like...
I guess it should play into the idea of, because the new conceit we have is that he grows up. So the idea of him wanting to be a grown-up
it's like the 13 going on 30. Remember that one?
Yeah. Well, you even do the thing where it's like, let's say that in the spaceship, it's like a cabin, like, you know, like a cruise ship. But then at a certain, you know, you got your movies and your snacks and your room service. But then they're like, all right, everyone, get, you know, it's time for everyone to move in. So he hides or something so that it gets miscounted.
I got
you know what I mean?
So, oh, here's what I was going to say. You do, they're going to the uncle's rock farm on the moon.
Yeah.
To polish rocks for a summer, right? He's like, this sucks. I don't want to do this. There's an arcade in the spaceport, or there's like a toy store or something like that. And he's like, ooh, like something I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And like you do, he's a fan of Indiana Jones, Space Indiana Jones, Nebula. Bill. Nebula Bill. So he's like, oh shit, there's a Nebula Bill Village video game, right? He goes to wander off to play it.
Nebula Bill VR experience.
The VR experience, whatever, right? He has this, here's what I was going to get at. He has this fantasy character, right? This cool version of what he thinks being an adult is going to be like. And it's Nebula Bill, this dashing Buck Rogers-esque dude with a leather jacket and a cool, he's like got a cool middle school part down the middle of his hair and like Jinko jeans or whatever, right? So... that's how he gets lost, right? So his family thinks they've got him. He winds up, he's like, oh, shoot, I'm late for the flight. And he runs, he gets on the wrong thing. Boom, he's a Space Mountain, right? He gets out. He's aged 21 years, right? And he's in his little weird boy outfit still because he grew into this outfit.
God, that's such a good trailer moment. Chris Pratt in like a little tiny little outfit. And
he's like
walking. Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers,
I'm
right?
I'm going to need some new clothes.
So he finds some new...
Oh, that package is huge.
Okay. He's like, I need to find some new clothes. He puts on some new clothes. They ask him for his name at the spaceport, and he says he's Nebula Bill.
Yeah.
And then you do...
Needle drop. Nebula Bill is real. These stories are about a real actual, like, intergalactic bounty hunter or something. And since he makes himself look like him...
He's mistaken for him.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah, you do, like, there's two alien spies looking for... what I was going to say is that there's two alien spies looking for the guy they're supposed to make, the guy they're supposed to kill, right? And the guy is going by the code name Nebula Bill. And so it's like a man who knew... It's a
name
North by
world.
Northwest
kind
of thing.
Yeah,
and so then they're trying to hunt him down. He's like, what the hell happened? I'm trying to get back home. Yada, 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 right?
What I was going to say is Nebula Bill... is like a alien lady. So it's like there's nobody's gonna believe. Like literally the code it's like of course anyways, where are you? I was like in terms of like he should catch up with a real Nebula Bill and it's like nobody's gonna believe she's Nebula Bill. Like of course he's Nebula Bill and she needs him or whatever. I don't know. Anyways, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, that's one way to do. The other thing you could do is that the guy going by this code name, you would do that. Again, he steal. There's one of the guys like is still asleep in the sleeping pod, and he steals that guy's clothes because he seems to match his height as Chris Pratt. And then that guy's wallet has the ID that says Nebula Bill, and that's how the switcheroo happens. Maybe it's you don't do the Nebula Bills, the Buck Rogers thing. I was just trying
to. I kind of like the idea that if you did.
Well, he's
like
embodying this, his hero. Is
yeah,
of...
I would do like he goes around the spaceport, which is this massive intergalactic market, everything. Mm-hmm. And he's got this picture. The only thing he has is this book of Nebula Bill.
Oh, no, no, you know what it is? He's like getting... After he does the VR experience, it prints out. It's like, congratulations, like you've done it. And it prints out like a little ID badge for him. And he uses that as a fake ID. Like, this doesn't look like any of the Earth IDs. It's like, they changed the standards up. It's like, all right, stamped right through alien customs.
Wait, how did he get an ID?
Like, he went to the VR experience for Nebula Bill, and they're like, congratulations, you got the high score. He's like, fuck yeah, I got the high score. It's like, you're a Nebula Bill. It's like, it has his picture on it.
That's why he was late, because he was playing the game, and he couldn't stop because he was getting the high score.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So his parents leave him behind, because they don't love him.
Yes.
Like most parents don't. If you're a child here, your parents don't love you.
Yep.
So it's a thing you have to accept in life. And then he runs on, he gets onto the wrong ship, and he ages 21 years, and the only thing he has is this ID that says Nebula Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the clothes he steals off another passenger.
Yeah.
So he comes out. He gets this cool. So yes, and then yes, you do. They all mark him, right? And they're like, "This is the guy that we're here to take out." And he's got this MacGuffin, right? He's supposed to have this space MacGuffin that they're after. That is maybe going to be the gizmo that de-ages him or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll worry about that in a second, right? He's like, "Where am I? Oh my gosh, I'm just trying to get home."
He ages. Mm-hmm. He's in the middle of this airplane where everybody else is in pods. He's not in a pod. All of a sudden, he's 21 years old and a little tiny. His pants are torn. I was just doing a tear and he's like naked.
Yeah.
He freaks out. Everybody's pod's open. He doesn't know what to do. He just grabs somebody's clothes and runs off. Those clothes have the MacGuffin. It was like the guy, like the Secret Service guy or whoever, like wakes up. He's like, "Where's my jacket with the, you know, microfilm in the lair?"
Yeah.
And now they're hunting it down.
Yes.
And he doesn't realize he has it, but the audience does.
And the bad guy was a bad guy.
Yes.
And so he stole it from a bad guy, not from like a good guy spy.
Yes, he steals it from a bad guy.
Yeah, and then you do the space cops were waiting for this guy or something like that, right? And then he gets on the run with them or something like that. Or like it's just there's an intrigue this object.
I like that. Is that it is space cops come out and they get this bad guy. So it's almost like a break for the bad guy because they're like, oh, he doesn't have anything on him. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, cops. I didn't smuggle in space drugs. And then he's like, shit, who stole my space drugs?
He's here for a bad guy handoff with the bad guys.
Okay.
Just bear with me.
Perfect.
Brandon, this bad guy who's on the ship that he steals money.
Brandon Everfolly.
Gentleman thief.
Gentleman thief. Gentleman thief. Absolutely.
That's a gentleman thief name if I've ever heard one.
Okay.
So
Noah steals Brandon's coat. Brandon Everfolly is a gentleman thief.
Gentleman thief.
Yes. A gentleman thief. He steals gentlemen from all over the galaxy. So he's got the MacGuffin, right? And then, but now the kid has the MacGuffin. Kid doesn't realize it, right? And there's the bad guy crew, like the other goon crew, that's like waiting to get this thing for Brandon Everfolly. And then they see him with the jacket, like that's him. That's our guy. That's Everfolly. We gotta get the thing off of him. And he's like, "Who are these guys chasing me around? Mamma mia!" And then you do. There's like the lady cop. Mm-hmm. Who is your side character or your relationship? I don't know.
I would do okay. It needs to get to a little. I mean, kind of like you didn't see Ready Player One, but I would give. I feel like he should get caught up with, or even like looking at Harry Potter with like Hermione and the elves and stuff. It's like, sorry, I'm quoting all stuff that Will doesn't know. I would give it something like, I don't know. This is too on the nose, but I would do that. Whatever they're doing, whatever the bad guys are doing, it should be like, I don't know, they're kidnapping. They're like, it's like an orphan thing. They're like kidnapping orphans or something. It should be like a serious, like it's a bad crime they're doing. And I would have the people who find him are like the underground resistance who are hiding in Space Mountain, who are like, because you'd have like the girl or the rebel leader who is like, right, like sacrificing a lot to do good.
Yes.
And especially if you do something that's like on the nose, like orphans who like wish they had parents, and he's like, "Man, my parents suck. I'm starting to be old now." And she's like, "Okay, well, you're the hero that's supposed to save us. Like, where's the stuff?" He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And she's like, "Oh my god, like we're screwed. I'm trying to save like a car. There's like a cargo. There's a ship coming with a bunch of orphans." And if they don't figure out where it's going or how what's going to happen, like these orphans are going to be sold into
the sun.
The sun.
They're going to just launch these kids sold into right into the sun.
No, they're like they're going to, you know, go into the crypto mines or whatever. They're going to go into mines.
I just don't quite understand.
What Matt's trying to do is trying to set up a sort of dueling sort of reality. It's a thing with this guy where he, as a character, clearly doesn't want parents. But he's trying to save all
just
these kids.
Just what's the MacGuffin, right? Even North by Northwest, it is ultimately it is to this guy stealing all this
microfilm.
Money. This
yeah.
is whatever these bad guys are doing. I would make it like, what are they doing? Are they selling drugs? Is it like secrets? I would do that they are involved in, again, if you did something personal, like there is a civil war on some planet and they are, yes, they're stealing kids for work because this alien species is whatever.
I got it.
Yeah.
It's I was just going to steal this from every spy movie ever, but it's a list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the list is like, so there was this war, right? Or like there was a resistance, right? And then the resistance got rounded up and thrown in jail or executed. Mm-hmm. But before they did, they put all their kids on this ship and sent their kids to Space Mountain, right? The kids have all taken undercover identities as merchants and officials and whatever on Space Mountain.
Yes.
And the bad guys are trying to find these kids because they're like, it's
ethnic
like a
cleansing.
Yeah, they're trying to wipe them out. Like, this is the last of the line, or this is the, you know, like a whatever, right?
These
like,
are kids who literally did what he's trying to do. They grew up too fast.
Yeah.
And they're
Damn.
And he wanted to grow up fast.
Yeah. And what's great is that they're kids his age, but now they're looking at him being like, you're Nebula Bill. We knew he was real. Yeah. We sent an emergency space appeal to, or something like that, right?
Yeah. So they're like the kids of the allies. If this was World War II, they're like the kids of like the important ally leaders, essentially, that were thrown off the planet for their own protection. Mm-hmm. And now, yes, the bad guys are coming to take them
and
out.
It's like they're like, we'll make you a deal. Mm-hmm. If you get us to our ship, we'll help you get back home.
Yeah,
something like that, right?
And at first he's like, back home party, I don't want to go back home. It's like, do you want to hear a sad story? He's like, nah, I'm 21 now, I'm gonna have a good old time. And then
does he not want to go back home? I feel like
I mean at a certain point, yes,
I mean, eventually, but come on, like Kevin from Home Alone 2 definitely orders like $4,000 in room service first.
Okay,
it's
well,
not
let's
like
talk about
because
it'll take some time. So like, look, yeah, so act one is our boy Noah is like, yo, why can't I be an adult? My parents treat me like a kid. I know we got to go on that spaceship. I really want to play this Nebula Bill game. He sneaks away and starts playing, and then he hears the boarding call. He's like, I'm almost getting high score. Fuck that. He gets high score. He gets his ID. He goes to run.
He runs
into the wrong place.
Home Alone dose.
Shows up 21. Boom. He's on Space Mountain, and he gets let in as Nebula Bill. And now he is unwittingly...
I just had a joke idea. You also do this lampshade where Earth is considered like this backwater planet, so they don't blink an eye at this printed out paper ID. He's like, I'm from Earth. I'm like, that figures stink. And they just throw him through.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so he steals the outfit he takes in order to cover up his body, as
hot,
it's called.
Chiseled abs.
Chiseled Chris Pratt body is a bad guy's outfit that's got a MacGuffin, a list of names of these kids who are fleeing a galactic civil war.
Who have fled said galactic civil war.
Okay. I feel like your second act is your fun. What bear with me, I would say you would give Space Mountain Police a main embodiment, a character.
Yes.
And that person brings Nebula Bill because he's like, Nebula Bill, and he looks up. He looks up, who's Nebula Bill? Who's this person that's not on the manifest?
Oh, and it's an international Earth criminal.
Yes. So he's like, shit. So this guy is...
She is like... Hannah Hawk.
Okay. Oh,
Hannah Hawk.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Hannah Hawk ends up being a bad guy.
She's a bird lady.
I would say she's a bad guy. She ends up being a bad guy.
I do want to make sure that.
Okay,
we
she's
all
a
know
bird lady.
She's going to end up being a bad guy?
Because bear with me. Because what
all
you
right,
do
go
is,
ahead, but.
Because I feel like, well, no, because I feel like the main characters are going to be these kids. What you do is. She brings out Nebula Bill, and she's trying to figure out what his game is. So you get the first, like, he goes out all night on the town with his, like, police officer, and she's, like, trying to work the angles. Because you need your first, you need him stepping on the keyboards. You need him to have a fun time in Space Mountain first and foremost. So she thinks he knows something, or is part of this. She is trying to play, she's the undercover cop going to talk to Nebula Bill about the list, like, because they lost the list or whatever it is. The point being is that eventually he'd meet the kids, and they would be like, we need your help, and then you would reveal, like, the Space Mountain group is corrupt. Like, she's hunting these kids down. That's why she was using him in the first place.
I like a cop. I think you could have a good guy cop and a bad... I don't know. Just bear with me for a second. So, like, to me, like, it would be like, he gets into the space station, right?
Yeah.
They think, again, like, and he is... presumably this bad guy,
yeah.
right? Because they see him get off, and they, the bad guy's got, like, again, it's like, remember Jason Bourne has that little thing with, like, his microfilm in it? And
yeah,
like
the his laser
again,
identity.
He's got
package.
This red carnation on, so people are recognizing him. Like, he gets a shitload of money or something like that. I don't know. What's
Bear
he,
with
what,
me. Bear with me.
What does he want?
Bear with me. As a kid, he wants to freaking party and have fun for a second.
Okay.
So bear with me. They don't mistake him. Nebula Bill was a hero. Make him. She thinks Nebula Bill is this super detective. And I would put the stakes at a certain point. It's like somebody else next to him. It's the classic, like, somebody else next to him is like, this is a fraudulent ID. You're executed. And they just die. So, like, the stakes are, nobody can know. He's like, well, nobody can know I'm not Nebula Bill. So he's got to play along as a super detective. And she's like, hey, we need help here. There's these kids that are lost on the station who are trying to get home. We need to find them before the bad guys find them. And he is having to play along as this super detective while all he's trying to do is have a good time as a 21-year-old adult here. And at a certain point, he does find the kids.
But it reveals as a twist.
But that they need his help. So now he's stuck in two things, because now he's literally stuck playing two sides, where he's got to play the good guy who's actually a good guy who's playing the bad guy because he realizes the cops are bad guys. He's trying to help these kids get home. Is like your turn at a certain point. So the first fun night is like, yes, he gets to hang out with a bunch of adult cops who think he's a superhuman, super awesome detective, and he's gonna pretend to be that. And then they're like, cool, cool, so we've had a good time. Where are all those fucking orphans? We need help finding orphans. And he's like, shit. And now he's stuck, like.
Oh, and also he's really good.
Look, the structure of it works, just the drama of it is not quite doing it for me yet, in terms of like the way that all plays out. Just give me a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to walk through it. Is it feels like the first thing that would happen would be like he's like, shit, I gotta get back home, right? Like you're right in the wrong place, you gotta get home. Like you've gotta establish that.
Yeah.
Right? Just hold on for a second. And then you do, he gets a whole crap load of money. Mm-hmm. Right, and he finds a flight that's going out at the end of the day, or at the end of the next flight is the only flight back to Earth is next week or something mm-hmm. like that. Right, so he's got time to kill, and then he goes and parties. Right,
yeah, yeah.
Like, and then you do like he goes to the arcade with all of his money that he gets from the mistaken identity.
Sure,
right,
sure.
Like the and so then he's going around playing, you know, like goofing off, having a grand old time. You do, yeah, maybe there's a corrupt cop, Hannah Hawk, who's like part of the bad guy crew. Right,
yeah.
And she's like, what's this guy doing? He's gone rogue. I don't know. I would have the kids. So one of the kids gets word that this hero Nebula Bill is here, and they're like, maybe
recruit
Nebula
him
Bill
earlier.
Can help us or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Because then I'm like, I'm also like, what do the kids want?
Well,
like,
yeah, I would do the kids like him want to get back home. I would do, if this is just a war, it's a simple thing where it's like, I would have that the kids were sent out on an escape pod when their parents were getting captured and they landed on Space Mountain and they're hiding and their parents are imprisoned or wherever and they're trying to get back home. Because they were, again, they were essentially refugees. They fled this war zone or from a ship that was getting taken.
Question.
Yeah.
Why are they trying to get back home if their parents?
Because they have plans. They have some MacGuffin.
They have a thing that can turn the tide of the war.
Yes.
Okay.
And
they got help from someone over at the galaxy.
Yes.
Yeah, Space Mountain or something. Because then that builds up to him.
The handoff was going to be for the kids originally.
Yeah.
They were actually, because again, if Hannah Hawk, yes, because if you think that way, it took it some bad guy thing, because Hannah Hawk is the cop who's like,
we need
this guy came on with drugs or something horrible, or this list that's horrible that we need to find. So she's finding it. He has it the whole time. And then when he realizes what he has, it's. What she was really doing was stopping the kids from getting the thing for
the
war.
It's some cure for some space disease that everyone on the planet's dying. The kids are going to go back and save the planet.
And then it's, again, what's...
Sorry, just walk me through that one more time.
Okay, let's say that this, yes, inside this coat...
The coat he's wearing.
Yeah, inside the coat that he stole is, yes, it
the
is
genetic
the chemical...
sequence.
The genetic sequence to stop this disease that's being used as chemical warfare on this planet.
Okay.
Okay, but the audience and the kid, we all think it's a bad guy thing. He takes this guy's coat. He doesn't realize he has this MacGuffin. Then the cops grab the guy who was supposed to have the coat. Like, where's the fucking coat? What is this? He's like, nothing. I'm not telling anybody anything. I don't know where it is. And everybody's looking for this code. Everybody's looking for this MacGuffin. And we all think it's a bad guy thing.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Sorry to jump in. I like, because it's not a virus. It's not the virus. It's the cure.
It's the cure.
Yes, exactly.
It's the cure.
That's the turn.
Here's how he gets his money.
Yes.
He sells it to the bad guys. And he gets a huge briefcase. They're like, we want to buy your pen. And he's like, oh, okay, here's my pen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, here's 20 million space bucks. Mm-hmm. He's like, holy shit, awesome. And then you do the kids get in touch with him because they're like, "You're Nebula Bill," like the or like they know he's the guy. They're like, "We need that pen," and he's like, "He's got to."
They're
go
like,
get
"We need help." There's a guy on the station who's got a jacket that looks actually just like that, and inside of the lining, there's this little like tiny pen thing. He's like,
"It's a cure for this disease. If the bad guys get it, they'll destroy it." Right?
He goes, "Theoretically, let's say I know what you're talking about. Continue."
Yeah.
Yes. And then he has a choice to make to help. And then, yes, I would do that. You reveal that Hannah Hawke's the bad guy because all of a sudden he's now, again, that's the stakes are he's got to pretend. She thinks, again, it's like the fun of he's got to pretend to be an adult. He's got to pretend to be this adult who's helping this cop
who's actually
corrupt. And then he's also helping these kids. Maybe you do some, I don't
know. He needs to make some big sacrifice at the end. It's some big moment where he's like, you know what? It's like, I'm going to, for the kids, you know.
Here's the handshake deal, essentially, is you do that. He's like, I'll help you get this thing if you guys help me get back home,
and you would
do through him making an arms deal essentially at the beginning of this thing and getting this money. He raises hell. You do like he they find out his idea is phony. He can't get on a flight home, right?
Yeah.
So he needs to get on a. She needs to sneak on a ship somehow. They have a ship ready to go
that they were going to sneak back
to their home planet. They're like, we'll drop you off at Earth on our way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I do a cheesy thing too where, yes, you would do the leader of the kids thinks he's a big selfish jerk who's begrudgingly do all this stuff. I would have them have some chemistry and then you can do a cute thing where when he goes on the ship and then he go back. And I would have him go back to being like 12 years old and then the alien girl sees him at 12 and then she's like, and he's like, so what do you think? She's like, humans are ugly or whatever. And she kisses him on the cheek and goes and he's like, aw. It's like, that's his first, his first little crush.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt as a 21-year-old.
Okay. That all seems like fun. So just to run through it real quick, and then we'll take this to the elevator. Noah. All right. So Noah, our kid from Earth, who's going to Earthport 2 to go on a shitty family vacation to the moon to polish rocks with their crazy uncle.
Yes.
And he's like, man, I don't want to do that. I just want to stay home and play my Nebula Bill video games. And they take his 3DS from him, and he's like, oh, man. And then at the airport, he sees the Nebula Bill 3D VR experience.
Yeah. He's
never even played before. So he goes to play the game. He sneaks out. He goes to play the game. He misses the boarding call. He gets a little fake ID. He tries to run onto the ship. He doesn't go to the moon. He gets blasted to Space Mountain.
Yes.
Space Mountain!
Act 2. He wakes up. He's a naked, grown-ass man. He steals a gentleman's clothes. The clothes of... What's his name? Brandon Everfolly, gentleman thief, who was just on Earth purloining from a local cure research medical lab, the cure for space pox.
Yes.
So he's got the cure for space pox disguised in this pen. He bumbles out. He checks in as Nebula Bill. I think you do like maybe even the background check doesn't work. It bumps. So then he has to run away from the cops is like the first thing because they're going to incinerate him because So he bumps into he makes the deal with the bad guys.
Yeah.
He sells this is your act two kind of fun and game stuff.
Yeah.
He's like confused. He doesn't know what's going on. He sells him the pen. He's trying to get back home. Or no, he's got all this money. The next flight,
he's got a week to party. It's the best thing. He's got a vacation by himself as a grown man with a ton of money on Space Mountain.
Exactly. So he starts to party. He starts to raise hell. He provokes the ire of the police or something like that.
Yeah.
That's how his name gets blocked. He can't make it onto that Earth flight anymore. He meets the orphans who think he's the real Nebula Bill because they've Googled it and found out that Nebula Bill is this Earth warrior from Earth. And they ask him for help tracking this thing down.
Yes.
He's like, son of a bitch. I just sold that to the bad guys. And he agrees to help the orphans get the pen back if they'll let him on their ship.
Yes.
So that's your act two.
I do think that you would meet Hannah Hawke, and she's like, this is a disease I need to stop. And I think when he meets the kids, that's when he finds out Hannah Hawke, because it's also a lesson about like adults like not being trustworthy.
Why does she, because the bad guys have it, so why is she?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's tough to me that he sells the disease, because it just feels like there's nothing going on there, whereas like, bear with me, there's drama. There's no drama I sold this thing because we're getting rid of the fun of the MacGuffin is that he's got it and then you just get rid of it right away. He's got infinite money and he's got nothing to do, as opposed to he has the MacGuffin, we know he doesn't, and he has to pretend to be a cop because a cop needs his help. Like, that's like, I get that as a structure, because there's like, she's like, hey, you're Nebula Bill, we need you.
He's got it on him.
She doesn't know he's got it on him. Nobody knows what the jacket was. It's like, we know that he's got this MacGuffin, and then he swipes Nebula Bill, and then, yes, the cops get... I mean, I guess the difference is I'm thinking Nebula Bill's a real thing, that people are like, oh, the cops are like, this is Nebula Bill. We need him. Nebula Bill, I would do that Nebula Bill is a real detective.
Like, who has video games about him.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
In Galactic World, it's a real thing. Or, again, there's enough. The universe is so big that there's rumors of it, so the people, they think he's real. And Earth people don't come here very often.
Just bear with me for a second. Why not just have it be, she's like, who's this Nebula Bill asshole? She looks it up, and then all she finds is the, I don't know. Just keep going.
It was just what, because what I would do is like, he's got this MacGuffin on him. He doesn't know it. It's just, it's a thing in his coat. He's never even seen it.
Yeah.
And then this guy runs off, and the cop's like, holy shit, like, the guy didn't have it, and he's gone off. The cops are looking.
One guy ran off. He ran off?
No, Brandon. Brandon Everfolly. Okay, from Hannah Hawk's point of view, Hannah Hawk is like, okay, we're staking out to get Brandon Everfolly, who's got the disease, is what everybody thinks is going on. He's got the disease, which is dangerous. Everfolly comes off the ship with no disease, and he escapes. And now the whole station, the whole Space Mountain police force is looking for the disease, which Brandon Folly is supposed to get. Little does everybody know is that it's actually in the pockets of Noah, who is just a 12-year-old kid who's enjoying his time on Space Mountain. Everybody gets notified when they come in. She's sitting there being like, how do I figure this out? Somebody's like, hey, we got an unidentified person showed up on the station. Like, we had no reports of him. It's somebody called Nebula Bill. And she looks up Nebula Bill, and it's a private detective, space private detective. She's like, great. So now our little Noah is having a good time, and all of a sudden a cop shows up. He's like, hello, are you Nebula Bill? He's like,
you were on the ship.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, shit, the cops have shown up because I lied. And they're like, great. I need your help. He's like, for what? He's like, you're Nebula Bill, right? Space detective. I need you to find, we need to find this disease. And she gives him a whole story about how there's this disease that's been put onto the station that's going to be used to kill people. And now he's got to pretend. And if he lies, and if they reveal who he is, he's going to get arrested. The scariest thing for a kid. So he's got to go along with her as he tries to figure this out. At a certain point, he meets the kids, and he realizes he's got the disease because they're like, that jacket is... You saved us. You come to save us. He's like, what do you mean? It's like, I've got to turn you all in. It's like, no, that's not the disease. That's the cure. The person you've been with the whole time is a bad guy. We need to get home. Can you help us get home? And now he goes along, and now he's got to play both sides because now he's got to make Hannah Hawk think that he doesn't know that she's actually the bad guy. And he's trying to help these kids escape the station.
Okay.
Also,
does that make sense?
Yes.
Also, when she first talks to him, she's like, I know that you have a fee, so here it is. And that's where he gets his 20 million.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She pays him to be a consulting detective.
In fact, he walks away. That's almost how he blows his cover right away. He's like, cool, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. And she's like, don't you want your fee? And he's like, what? You do this for free? Oh, no, of course, Nebula Bill's a mercenary detective. I need lots of money. He says some insane number. And she's like, well, shit, okay, well, you better be worth it. And she gives it to him. And now he's got all this money, and this cop's on his ass.
Okay,
fun.
All right. My only question.
Yes.
What happens to Brandon Everfolly?
I would do Brandon. So Brandon Everfolly ends up being, I would do, they have to find him because, right, he is clearly, he's part of the kids group, right? He was there with the cure.
So he's a good guy.
Yes. That's the whole, the twist is that Brandon we are just told he's actually a good guy.
Oh.
So they have to find him because he's the only one who knows how to get off the station. He would be like the cool, like, pilot.
He's arranged for the transport and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
He's okay, so he was there to meet the kids.
Yep.
And hand give off the thing. Cure.
Oh.
You know what's fun, by the way? You know what's fun about it too? This is what you do. You do the scene where he gets all the money and he goes into like space casino and you're like, oh, he's just gonna blow it. And then just hard cut to it. It's like, I doubled it! I made more money! This was the best idea.
Oh, and what he does is he gives all the kids all of his money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. Okay. So, okay. Yes. Yeah. So first of all, that's great.
Okay.
You do, and then he steals the thing from Brandon Everfolly. They're waiting for this who they is supposed to be this bad guy, right? But he's a bad guy with a heart of gold who's trying to help these orphans, right? So the kids are looking for a guy with the jacket.
Yes.
The kids are the guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
God. Thrillers, right? Jeez Louise. So the kids are the guys. So the kids are staking out, waiting for the guy with the pink carnation to walk out of this ship, right? Because he's got the thing for them. And yes. instead, he winds up getting chased around by the cops. He has to run away, and then he gets recruited by the cops, yes. right? And the cops are like, listen up, asshole. We're looking for this fucking space disease. We need you to help us find it, right? Yes. I'll give you your fee, right? He's like, okay, cool. I'll help you find it. Now he's bumbling around, trying to pretend to be a detective.
While just trying to have fun with just all the money and Space Mountain Arcade and
yeah,
shit.
So yes, she lets him go, and then he's being all goofy. Okay, so yeah. So that's your act two,
yes.
right? And then, yes, you have... He runs into the kids in Act Three, essentially. We're like, he starts to find out more about what's going on. And again, like, it's also like he's not going to be able to. He has to maintain this cover until the ship to Earth leaves. Yeah. Things. Or
and by the way, really quick, the fun of it is I'll just edit this down. The fun of it is kind of like Biggie. You would have to obviously play that Hannah Hawk. Is like, man, this Nebula Bill is a hot dude. And literally, she's like, hey, you know, I know it's been really tough on this case so far. Why don't you come over to my place tonight? And then that's when he meets the kids. He's like, she's the bad guy. She's trying to commit genocide against my people. He's like,
Then he enters the Viper's
Nest.
And then,
yes, he goes to her place, and now she's like, why are you so nervous? And it's like, I am one, he's 13. two, he knows that she's a murderer.
Yes.
And three, if he blows his cover, he's probably gonna die.
Yeah, and that's your fun. Yeah,
and then,
show,
yes,
show,
now he's
show.
Working underground while literally having to stay within the sight of the enemy.
Okay.
And that's the fun.
That's extremely good.
Okay.
I do want to insist, though, that Hannah Hawk is a giant bird person.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And she's making like a martini and cracking eggs into it or something like that. I don't know what she's cracking. Yeah. She's terrifying.
Yeah.
All right. So great. That's all very good. Yeah. So end of Act Two, he agrees to take the case with Hannah Hawk.
Yes.
In Act Three, he's pretending to investigate.
Yes.
He's having fun being a cool James Bond detective.
Yeah.
And he's doing the adult thing, and he's like, trying to be responsible, whatever. He bumps into the kids. They tell he just this is the thing he discovers that this is really not a virus, it's a cure, right? I think you would even do like they interrogate another fun high stakes scene would be they have to interrogate this weird naked man that they found on the ship, Brandon Everfolly, and then Brandon Everfolly's trying to communicate with him, be like, what the fuck's going on? So anyway,
that's fun.
That could be fun. Okay, so yes, midpoint he discovers that Hannah's the bad guy. He's got an outplay against her. He's trying to help the orphans.
Yeah.
It all spirals out of control. What I was gonna say is like. He lets them. It's a road warrior.
Yeah.
He lets the bad guys think that he has the MacGuffin.
Yes.
When it's actually on the ship with the kids.
Yes.
So
yes.
He leads them on this wacky chase through Space Mountain, and then they catch him and they take.
At some point, he gets.
Oh,
at some point,
they take the disguised pen out, and it's really just a pen.
At some point, he gets on like a cargo transport, and it's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, good.
Here's how you end it: is that yes, you do. He sacrifices them, and you definitely play like he's gonna be sacrificed. It's like the kids make it. Hannah Hawk catches him, turns around, he doesn't have it. She's like, you're fucking dead. And she pulls out a gun. And before this, you have this nice dinner moment where right before all this happened, the night before when they're like getting ready for the big mission, you'd have a thing where he's like, you know what? My parents just don't love me. Like, they don't let me play Nebula Bill and all this other shit. Well, who comes to save the day?
His parents.
They're about to kill him. And then they go, Noah, what the hell are you doing? And he turns around, he's like, Mom, Dad. And they're like, what? Noah? He's like, yeah, that's our son. I could recognize my son even if he's 31 years old now. Noah! Did you not go? And it's the whole thing. And then, it's like she can't shoot this kid in front of the parents.
Because he's 12 years old.
And then
the space cops immediately arrest her for pedophilia.
Yes.
Immediately she's arrested. You tried to have sex with this 12-year-old, and it just space cuffs instantly.
That's great. I love that twist. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll integrate your big final moment for this character at the completion of his arc is grown-ass dashing Chris Pratt just breaks down crying and runs to go hug his mom.
Yeah.
I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. Never leave me again. And they're like, let's get you out of this ridiculous man-sized body back into a 12-year-old body.
Yes. And then the end credits are actually, it's just Chris Pratt living in their house because they can't DH him. So they come down, they're serving him lunch and everything. It's like,
Mom, I like my sandwiches cut triangle style.
He's
honey.
Back in like shorts and like a schoolboy outfit as he's going to school with all the other 12-year-olds.
Exactly.
Space Mountain.
I like that movie.
I like that movie too.
All right, folks.
Good.
We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, the elevator pitch of Space Mountain.
Are you tired of trying to keep up with the news cycle?
Is bad stuff happening too fast for you to process?
Don't you wish there was an easy way to find out about only the most important info you need?
Hi, we're Lisa
and Emily. Why don't you try our podcast, Baby Geniuses?
On each episode of our podcast, we discuss a weird Wikipedia page, such as
flatulence humor,
Clamato,
Catalan witches,
Clippy, the Microsoft Office helper,
death during consensual sex,
and the talking mongoose.
We ask each other stupid questions.
If you got a packet with like 300 seeds in it, what kind of plant would you choose the seeds to be?
That felt like you were assigned to ask me a question and there were certain words you weren't allowed to use.
We talk about Martha Stewart, her pony, and other celebrity horse news. Ben Chunch.
Every other week on Maximum Fun.
Baby Geniuses.
Welcome back to Story Break, ladies and gentlemen. I am touching down now at Space Mountain. Oh, I'm getting out in the spaceport. Wow, it's pretty cool around here. Anyway, Will Campos here at Space Mountain to pitch the Space Mountain movie to Mickey Mouse and
Bill Watkins, right?
Oh my gosh.
Engineer of Space Mountain.
The Imagineer of Space Mountain himself, Bill Watkins. Well, hi, Mickey. How are you doing?
Oh, hello. Hope you're having a grand old time here at Disneyland, the place where dreams come true.
Okay, Mickey and Bill. I was told by our producer, Freddie, that we've kind of gone pretty long.
Social media guru and 30 under 30 rock star? That Freddie Wong? I love him.
Freddie was telling me to keep this pitch to an actual 30 seconds, so I am here to pitch
this. Time is money, after all.
30 seconds will be good. I don't have too much time left on this earth, so keep it short.
All right, gang. Here's Space Mountain. It's Home Alone 2 in space, but the first act of Home Alone 2 for most of the movie. Meets Big.
Okay. I'm having a little bit of a difficult time conceptualizing this.
It's the year 2150. We start with a plucky kid, Noah Baumbach. Noah is taking a break from making mumblecore movies to join his family on a boring-ass trip to the moon. Noah's 10 years old. He hates being a kid. He wishes he could be his own cool action-adventure adult like his hero Nebula Bill from his favorite video games. He doesn't want to go to the moon. He wants to go have fun. He goes to play a Nebula Bill video game at the airport, and in doing so, misses his flight. He gets a little ID printed out, and he jumps onto the next flight, which he thinks is going to take him to the same place, but it doesn't take him there. It takes him to Space Mountain, the hub of the galaxy, the biggest international space station of all time. It's the port to the universe.
And the pizza port next to it.
So he's going to go to Space Mountain. And of course, along the way, there's weird nebula shit, and he's not in the little pot he needs to be in, so he wakes up, and he's now in an adult's body. He's like Chris Pratt, like friggin' ripped, right? So it basically turns into a man who knew too much, North by Northwest type thing. He adopts the persona of Nebula Bill, but he steals clothes from who we think is a bad guy with a MacGuffin in his pocket, and then we think it's a deadly space virus. The cops hire him, thinking he's Nebula Bill, international space detective, to help find the very MacGuffin he's got in his pocket. So now you have this kid on an action-adventure roller coaster, having the time of his life, being a fun adult. You know, he's got all of his money, and he's, you know, blowing it at the space arcade and stuff like that, but then shit gets real. He discovers that it's not a virus, it's a cure, and there's a bunch of runaway space orphans hiding out on Space Mountain who recruit him to help them get back to their home planet with the cure, but he's got to outwit Hannah Hawk, the bird lady detective who's actually working for the bad guys. It all turns into a rock and roller coaster ride. Your climax is a chase around Space Mountain mirroring the ride, and at the end he's going to get executed after nobly sacrificing himself for the kids, but then who shows up to save him from the butcher's block? It's his parents, and then you're kind of your sort of growth moment for your characters. This kid who wanted nothing to do with them in the beginning breaks down crying, is reunited with his parents, goes back to Earth to live as 12-year-old Chris Pratt.
Oh, that sounds pretty amazing. I'm going to have to check with old Bobby Iger with regards to how the rights situation is.
There was a lot about bird women and boys becoming men who are naked. I didn't like that stuff. But at the end, it became just like my ride. So I think that deserves the old Bill Watkins thumbs up, Mickey.
I will say this.
That's a soft no.
That sounds like a hard maybe.
We'll get back to you. We'd love to collaborate with you on another project at some point, though.
Oh, boy. Tough room, eh?
Ugh, Mickey. Mickey kicked my ass.
You know, Mickey, he's a real, you know, nice-looking, you know, mascot. But when it really comes down to it, he's all about them P&Ls and that bottom line. You know what I mean? He Wharton School, Mickey. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wharton.
Well, that's Story Break, everyone.
Thank you both to Hannah and Noah for lending us their nom de plume.
And Brandon Eberfalde, gentleman thief.
Thanks to Hannah, Noah, and Brandon for lending their nom de plumes for us to abuse and use here at Story Break. For those of you who wish to also perhaps hear your name mentioned, and who knows what kind of character you'll be, go ahead and tweet your names at us to @RJStoryBreak and follow us there too. We're getting better at Twitter. Will has been taking a lot of the Twitter mentions, and we read everything you send at us, because that writer's room, that's a lonely place, you know? And sometimes the only lifeline you have is that little blue bird pecking at you in the corner.
I gotta get them birds.
Yeah.
We all wanted to say as well, thank you so much to everyone who listened to the Max Fun Drive episodes, who tweeted about Max Fun, who became a Max Fun donor, or upgraded their membership.
They hit their goal.
They hit their goal. 25,000 OPA. They hit their secret goal, which means that someone's gonna get a date from a Max Fun person. Could be us.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they hit their stretch goal over the weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there could be a Max Fun mystery date in your future from a certain group
of
story
boys. Did
they
really hit their stretch goal, or did somebody pay some extra to get a date?
I'll pay $1 million to sleep with your podcast.
We had some pretty amazing fan art that came in over
Gosh.
This last week.
Boy, oh boy, did we get some really good, from a variety of things, too. Yeah. So special shout out, first of all, to Downtown Ryan Brown for giving us two separate posters this week. A really, really great Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego poster featuring some very talented actors. Bruce Willis, Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, and of course, Gina Rodriguez. He also gave us, and this was the most impressive thing I've ever seen. For those of you who don't know, we did a live show last week at the Angel City Brewery where we had 10 minutes to break a story for a Jordan Jesse Go momentous occasion. And we came up with a story about alt-right guys and the woods and dog scents, and
weird,
it's called
perfume romance dog love alt-right Nazi story.
So Ryan did a poster for Nut Butt, which has this incredible, it reminds me of the poster for White Dog, but it's like a dog with a Hitler mustache and like a little Hitler part.
We got pretty wild on stage, I'm gonna be honest.
It is an incredibly good poster, and he turned it around in like about 30 seconds, which is pretty shocking. His tweet was also really good. I just do want to read it very quickly. This chew toy technician is in a master race against time when her company holds her feet to the tiki torch meets a veterinarian who seems... A veterinarian who seems like aroma non grata, but he might just be heaven sent.
Yep.
Wow.
I consider myself a bit of a punsmith, and that is maybe the best string of puns I've ever seen in my life. So well
done.
What
else we got? What else
we got? As always, we got a really beautiful Stardew Valley Monster Hunter poster from Caleb Rada. Thank you, Caleb. 8 got us another poster for Where in the World is Carmen in San Diego. Just a wonderful cartoon poster. Really, really good drawings. I'm in love with this Higgins chasing after our two leads. Carmen standing very dashingly in the background. So thank you, 8. That was the posters this week. Thank you guys again so much for sending us that fan art. Thanks as well for leaving us reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to Cameron for cutting the shit out of this episode and for crushing it the last 2 weeks on those big Mamma Jamma Max Fun episodes. Cameron, our ace editor.
Thanks again to Max Fun, Maximum Fun, the podcast network, which we are proud members of. There's a number of great shows. You can check them out at MaximumFun.org. Anything else, Matt?
I want to get out of here.
All right. So until next time, you
are
on
the
only
space
where
that
mountain.
Not even close.
Hey there, folks. I'm writer and performer Dave Holmes, and I host International Waters, where we pair a team of comedians in LA against a team of comedians in London in a pop culture trivia battle royale. Comedians like Chris Fairbanks.
Yeah. I have a metal hip.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I'm part robot. It's
You're
great.
More machine than man.
It feels great. I'm mostly man still.
Okay.
That depends on where I'm at, though.
Lauren Lapkus.
But I do think if you're working with dead bodies all day, maybe a dog would be more appealing than marrying a man.
Yeah,
right.
So.
Like, it's like, oh, this is going to get really sad at some point. Yeah. So maybe I'll just marry a dog and always replace it. A lot of cuddling.
Yeah. A lot of cuddling. And many more. Join us every other week on International Waters with me, Dave Holmes. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.